The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance being joined right now by Brian Baldinger, coming back on the show, NFL Network, Fox Sports, Compass Media Networks. He's an NFL insider. He's been here before, and he's here again. Baldy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Fantastic, man. Lance, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing, Baldy? Long time no see. Hopefully we get to catch up this year.
Yeah, hopefully there, Lance. I mean, it's our time of the year. You know, I mean, we're just sort of looking at these prospects and evaluating them and slotting them. And, you know, I'm having some fun doing it. I always enjoy it.
It's interesting. I've got a mock draft coming out. I've turned it in today, just a little behind-the-scenes stuff. And as Brian will tell you, so that means that I have three TV shows to do tomorrow. As soon as a mock draft comes out, every single one of them, Lance, we're going to get you on to talk about your mock. Okay. I got a whole day of doing that stuff tomorrow because of the mock draft.
That's all right.
I find this to be the case, Brian. When you go through a mock draft, so I took over 10 hours to get one done yesterday because I kept, you know, you try to get it perfect. You want to slide these pieces in, and that doesn't quite feel right. There's never a draft that feels completely right when you go back and look at it. And it's always going to get busted up because of trades that happen. I think this year, Baldy, is going to be one of the craziest we've seen in a while because you have so many teams with multiple picks and draft capital inside the first two rounds. And the quarterback position, I just don't know where to slot these guys.
Well, here's what I think about mock drafts. I mean, I don't mock them. I don't make fun of them. But you know, if you spend 10 hours, Lance, trying to put that puzzle together, to me, it's a good exercise. You know, you're really refining what you've watched and studied. You've paid attention to teams' needs and things that you might or might not hear. You know, I mean, we don't really know at this time of the year. So I think the exercise is a good exercise. I know some people probably just slap them together. But, you know, I mean, you've got a very credible name, Lance, so I think that's a good exercise. But, you know, look, the quarterbacks usually drive these drafts, especially with teams that have, you know, a lot of draft capital. And I just don't know. I mean, it just takes one to fall in love with somebody the way, you know, three teams presumably back in 2017 fell in love with Patrick Mahomes. And that's why, you know, the Chiefs traded from 24 all the way to 10, getting in front of the Saints to take him. And so, you know, maybe that guy is Malik Willis this year. Maybe he isn't. I don't know yet. But, you know, it just takes one team like Kansas City, you know, 5 years ago to go say, that's the guy of our future. And obviously it was the right move.
Who drafts a quarterback first, Baldy?
Well, I mean, I can't believe that Carolina would go into the season with Sam Darnold again. I heard what Sam said this week. And, you know, to a large degree, Sam's right. You know, he has not played on a good team. They haven't been good around him. And he's been the product of a lot of that. But I just understanding the owner, knowing the coach pretty well, I think Carolina drafts one first, unless somebody feels like they're going to take the guy that they want and maybe they trade with the Giants at number 5. I think that's the first point in this draft where we might see a trade. Well, I don't think the Giants would mind moving back from five to whatever and adding more capital. So it looks to me like Carolina could go high with that first pick.
One of the things that's really – okay, so if you do that with Carolina, if you were to go, for example, if Carolina went quarterback, I can tell you this. I talked to somebody who yesterday said they're hoping there's a huge run on quarterbacks that at least four go so that they push some of the good football players into the second round.
Yeah.
There is a belief by some teams that zero of these quarterbacks will be good starters in the league. That's what I find very interesting is – and the NFL guys who actually have to, you know, get hired and fired based on their how they put teams together, they don't just look at a pro day workout and go, whoa, look at that pro day workout. Like, they are looking at it from a different standpoint, and they see these guys as potentially getting coaches fired type quarterbacks. Do you think that's harsh, or can you see the point?
Yeah, I can see the point, but I mean, was Zach Wilson that good of a player at BYU?
I didn't think so.
You know, injury history, Lance, played at BYU, nothing against the Cougs. But, I mean, it wasn't like he was going up against SEC competition every week. And he's the second pick in the draft. And if you said to me, okay, is Desmond Ridder that much different? Pick a guy in this draft. Are any of these guys, Kenny Pickett, I mean, are they that much different than Zach Wilson? Is he that elite? To me, I've heard people say that if Sam Darnold was in this draft, he'd be heads and shoulders above everybody. Well, I don't know. Like, Sam Darnold has not, I understand, you know, he hasn't played behind a good offensive line and all that kind of stuff, but would Kenny Pickett not be in competition with Sam Darnold if they were to compete with one another? That's kind of a conversation I think you can have. I understand all of that, all the conversations, but I'm not so sure that Kenny Pickett isn't going to be a good pro, to be honest with you. I mean, 49 starts. I can't find one NFL player on his team, on his offense, that he's playing with. You know, I mean, like, you got to consider some of that and win the ACC and starting 49 games and, you know, winning a bunch. So, you got to let these guys go get a chance to play. We saw, just not to get too far off the track, but we saw Matt Stafford in Detroit, you know, kind of stumble through 12 seasons. And, you know, it took one team, the Rams, to say, no, this guy's an elite talent. We'll show you how elite he was. And he showed us all. And so, so much is put on the shoulders of the quarterback, but they need so much help around him.
Brian Baldinger, our guest right now from NFL Network. Brian, there's a lot of people around NFL who believe the Texans at pick number three are going to lean on Lovie Smith and what he wants, and that's going to be a pass rusher and a guy who gets up the field. I'm of the other mind. I feel like if you get a chance to draft Evan Neal, for example, I think he's big, athletic, he's technically sound. I think he's safe, and he can play left tackle, right tackle. If you want him to play guard this year, he can, and eventually take over at left tackle for Laremy Tunsil, whose contract looks like a cap casualty after this year is over. Where do you fall on the pass rusher versus the offensive lineman at the number three pick for the Texans?
Well, if you could tell me right now, Lance, that Evan Neal is going to be anywhere near Tristan Wirfs or Rashawn Slater, to me, it would be a no-brainer. Like, those two guys they came right into the league, started day one, and have been as good as anybody at their positions. And if you tell me Evan Neal can be in that category, Lance, to me, I totally agree with you. Go get the tackle and play Evan at right tackle, Laremy at left tackle, and whatever you decide to do at quarterback, he's going to be a lot better protected with those two guys.
Well, and that's the thing to me is, show me, if you really believe in Davis Mills, you need to get that offensive line fixed. You need to get it right. This idea that they're just going to piecemeal that, this is a deep pass rush draft. So to me, you can find pass rushers, I'm just telling you, second, third, fourth round, you can go find pass rushers. And Lovie Smith, a lot of times, Brian, defensive coaches believe that they can find defensive talent in later rounds. And the same thing with offensive coaches. They believe, oh, I can find a guy who I can get to play in my system. It doesn't have to be first round. So I will say sometimes you see coaches on a particular side of the ball who like to draft on the other side of the ball because they feel like they know the secret sauce on their side and they can get guys outside of the first round.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, look, there's no bigger example of that, Lance, than Max Crosby. You know, there's a guy that has done nothing but just climb the ladder to an elite status and a $100 million contract that was taken in the fourth round at Eastern Michigan. You know, and if you tell me in this draft that Sam Williams could be that guy, like, he's got to play harder, he's got to be better against the run, but he's a great pass rusher. So, I mean, you probably could get him in the middle rounds, you know, just because of some of his deficiencies, but, you know, and you know, some blemishes, you know, in his character. But, I mean, I think you could find, like, I believe you're going to find really good pass rushers in this draft in the third and fourth round. We always do. We always find them.
Yeah, Yannick Ngakoue, for example, was a third-round pick.
Yeah. And was he in the same draft as Dante Fowler?
I think he was. Yeah, I think he was. And interestingly enough, those two had beef in Jacksonville. But, yeah, I think he was in the same draft with Dante Fowler, which was that was also considered a good pass rush draft.
Yeah, coming out of Florida, third pick, and, you know, tears his ACL before he, you know, steps on the field of a game. But, you know, Yannick has been a much better player. And he was, fourth or fifth round out of Maryland, whatever it was, Lance. But he's been a better player.
Yeah. Brian Baldinger, our guest right now. And, Baldy, before we let you go, so looking at the draft as a whole and the Texans as a whole, this is Nick Caserio's first draft where he actually has a first and a second round pick. How the process of rebuilding the Texans with this draft capital they now have after dealing Deshaun Watson, how long do you see it? What do you think the runway looks like for Nick Caserio, and how important is it overstated to say this is really a must year for the Texans to hit on first round picks?
I think so. I mean, you know, you got to start somewhere, Lance. I mean, they've been out there in left field for the last, you know, two seasons now. And so they got to start adding talent. We've seen a talent drain go out of Houston. A lot of good players have left. You know, Reed left this year in free agency. I mean, they just haven't done a good job of identifying good players. They haven't drafted well. And so it's got to start somewhere. And, you know, if you can find three starters in this draft, I mean, that'd be a good start, especially if, you know, some of those guys become Pro Bowl players. You know, when you go back and you look at what they did with Whitney Mercilus and J.J. Watt and the guys that they drafted, I mean, you know, they hit on a lot of draft picks back then, and they were winning the division for quite a few years back then and winning playoff games. So I think it does have to start this year, Lance.
Brian, we really appreciate you joining us and talking some football with us. Always a pleasure, and hopefully we'll get a catch-up soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. Talk to you guys.
By the way, great breakdowns during the year on football on Twitter. Fantastic stuff. I know a lot of people really love the insight that you bring to the table. Just wanted to give you a little shout-out on that because
yeah,
a lot of people
Lance.
Watch your stuff as well on that.
Yeah, I enjoy doing it. I really do. For the fans and the players both. I mean, it's just trying to explain the game and pointing out the good things, maybe some bad things too. But, yeah, I enjoy doing it, Lance. Thanks.
All right, thanks. Brian Baldinger from NFL Network, what we consider to be the finest network in sports. We are a more sensitive network. Mm. We have a lot of great in-depth draft coverage and information on there.
Mm.
Really the network of the people. Is what a lot of people say.
The NFL Network, that's what everybody says.
Yep.
The network of the people. They're not worried about money.
NFL.
That's all they're worried about is.
Network for life.
Yeah.
Is what that stands for.
Yeah, that's what everybody says.
So just giving you some insight there.
All right. When we come back, let's hear from Gil Brandt on the other side. But first, you got some insurance to talk about.
TGS Insurance. Text the word money to 232323. What does that do? It sets in motion a process of shopping for homeowners insurance with multiple A-rated companies. The great thing is this takes about 15 seconds max. You text the word money to 232323. Almost immediately, you are going to get a text back asking for your address. You give your address, And then shortly thereafter, you're going to get a quote. And you can check that quote. It's a firm quote from an A-rated insurance company. You can check it against what you're paying right now. What you're going to find is that in many cases, you're going to save thousands of dollars. It can be thousands of dollars. The average savings is $900 annually. Sometimes, like me, you'll save $450. That's great. I'm putting $450 back in my pocket. But there are a lot of people who make the switch for the first time in a decade, and they can't believe how much money they've been throwing away to these homeowners insurance companies, who in many cases may not have been giving you the right coverage. Check out the company for yourself, tgsinsurance.com. Text the word money to 232323. It's tgsinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here. 920 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we talked about Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter, by the way, the other tweet that Adam Schefter got in trouble for was the Deshaun tweet.
Yes,
it was like he was his PR department, remember? Well, this proves that Deshaun Watson
wasn't. That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was, yeah. And he ended up, I don't know if he deleted it or he made a mea culpa on that one.
Yeah.
He tweeted, who sent that? Did they send it on Twitter? Somebody sent it?
Somebody just said, well, it's no longer, and I don't know. No, I forget who sent that. They didn't send the tweet. They just said that's what he was in trouble for.
Yeah, but that was that's the one where you do wonder, okay, Adam,
it was Greg in H-Town, he said that.
Adam, I think Adam Schefter probably I've talked to him a couple times. I think Adam is a good guy. I think he is unbelievably singularly focused on his job. Like, he is a robot. When he gets information, it's correct. He sources it. He's old school. I believe Adam Schefter had the right information on David Culley's contract. Where everyone else said, no, David got all that. David Culley came out and said, no, I got that. I think Adam Schefter got it right because talking to somebody else, I think it was maybe a little embarrassing to David Culley that he didn't. Because it seemed weird that David Culley would get all of that guaranteed.
Yeah.
The Texans would have done that. I think Adam Schefter ended up having that one right, too. He has unbelievable connections. Talked to somebody who spoke with him yesterday who said he is miserable over all this. Just like, I almost think it's, you know, some people just don't have that empathy. Like, it's, I don't think he had the empathy to realize what his comments with Deshaun Watson. He's basically saying, see, Deshaun is innocent. They always knew he was. And that's not what with the grand jury stuff.
That's not what that meant. No. All right. So we've talked about Schefter.
If that's Schefter.
For those of you who missed. Yeah, that was Adam Schefter. Gil Brandt was on a radio show. What radio show was he on?
He was on his own on Sirius XM, I believe.
Oh, okay. Well, here's Gil Brandt about the death of Dwayne Haskins.
Well, you know, Dan, I hate any time anybody is killed or anybody dies. But he was a guy that was living to be dead, so to speak. You know, they told him, don't under any circumstances leave school early. You just don't have the work habits. You don't have this. You don't have that. What did he do? Left school early. I always can remember this. We invited players to the draft. And he was one of the players we invited to the draft. And we were told, no, we're going to have our own party. His own party was a party at the bowling alley. Charged him $50 to get into the bowling alley for his party. It was always something, you know. It's one of those things. I'm never offside, but they keep calling me for offside. Is what it is. So, you know, it's a tragic thing. Anytime anybody dies, it's tragic, and especially when you're 24 years old and you got to hold your whole life ahead of you. You know, maybe if he'd have stayed in school a year, he wouldn't do silly things. I mean, I don't. When you're jogging on the highway. You know, on a road like that, that leaves it open because I tell you, it's so. Guy has two drinks and he's just a little bit to the right side of the road and gets hit and killed, it's easy to happen.
Yeah. I want to just...
Wow.
The host is like, oh, I shouldn't have brought that up. So, first of all...
Let's work dead.
Let's work backwards for a second. He's already hype. He's just basically making comments. Boy, if a guy has a couple drinks, he could swerve and hit you at 6 in the morning. The dump truck driver is probably like, hey, what now? Why are you throwing that out there?
Why? He wasn't jogging on the highway.
You lead off with living to be dead, which is...
Okay. The whole thing was...
If this had been Mike Tyson or somebody at their... this is not a salacious enough life that you make that comment. Yes, Gil is 90 years old. Let's put
90.
That out there.
He's
Gil
90.
Is also in charge of. Did you? I don't know if you know.
I don't know for how long.
Gil is in charge. Yeah, Gil is in charge of inviting. This is actually true. I'm not sure it's going to be for very much longer after that. Gil is in charge of inviting players to the NFL green room for the draft. That is his. That's his thing. Gil holds grudges.
Yeah.
And Gil clearly held a grudge against. He made a comment about him charging $50. Is it in bad taste or whatever for him to do it apart? You know, I guess, whatever. But for Gil to bring that up when a guy has died to air grievances against the player, he's living to die. You know, well, what do you mean by that, Gil? You know, they told him not to come out and he came out early. That's living to die? That's maybe making. Maybe making a tough career choice where you're
a financial decision.
Yeah, it's a financial decision. It may have been a short-sighted career choice in hindsight, but he also was drafted in the first round and got a bunch of guaranteed money. Like, I don't know that that's living to die. I don't know if going and having a draft party at a bowling alley is living to die.
All of these things were said. Okay, they were said by a 90-year-old. Now, I could certainly see, and I'm not the first thing that we want to do all the time is fire. That guy's got to be fired. If you knew somebody that got fired, or it's a friend or a family member that gets fired, you're like, oh my God, this cancel culture, these people are the worst. You got fired for no reason at all, blah, 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 blah. It would shock me if Gil Brandt is employed anymore to invite kids to the green room. It would shock me. These comments, listen, he's 90 years old. I hope he's got enough. He was with the Cowboys for what, 40 years?
Oh my God, at least.
Yeah. I'm hoping he has enough money that he doesn't need to work anymore.
At 90, he's fine.
I'm pretty sure he'll be fine.
Yeah, at 90, he's fine.
I don't know how much of a nest egg you need anymore. I don't want to be insensitive to Gil Brandt. I don't want him to die. But here's the deal, is he's probably got plenty. At 90 years old, to be making the statements that he made on this show, he doesn't need to be making the statements anymore. And you certainly, if you're the NFL, you can't employ him anymore. I hate that. I hate when people try to take jobs away from people. But dude's 90, and he has lost touch. His comments here are just
clearly axe to grind commentary.
And I mean, it's a world passed him by. I mean, he was in Dallas all those years. Do you think he's been, I don't know, but I don't want to put anything on him, but do you think he's got a sensitivity about him? Gil Brandt?
No.
Gil
is I know Gil a little. Gil's a little bit of a cranky guy. Here's a story about Gil Brandt. You don't want to know how far back I go with Gil Brandt? To when I was 9 years old. Gil Brandt was with the Dallas Cowboys. He was studying the University of Houston Cougar players or whatever. They ended up drafting Eugene Lockhart, as a matter of fact. My dad was an early first or second year. He was like a second-year coach. Gil would send us Dallas Cowboys stuff. I'm an Oiler fan. I don't want this cowboy trash.
Mm-hmm.
So Gil got me an autographed picture of an autographed picture of Tony Dorsett, and my brother an autographed picture of Danny White. He gave us all these Dallas Cowboy stickers. I traded, true story, to Glenn Bubba Thomas, rest in peace. I traded in sixth grade my Danny White. I still have, my Tony Dorsett autograph, and it's autographed to Lance. My autograph picture, I traded it to him for a pack of grape now and laters. Glenn Bubba Thomas scratched out Lance, put Bubba on there. So, dear Bubba, in his handwriting in Best Wishes, Tony Dorsett. And it was a picture of Tony Dorsett. That's how much I thought of the Dallas Cowboys. I would rather trade this Tony Dorsett
Grape picture for Grape Now and Laters. They were good.
No, not the mini packs, but a full pack.
But that was were good. Now, yeah, I love the Grape.
Now and Laters were the bomb.
Yeah.
To me, I made out on the deal.
Right.
But Gil Brandt appreciated my dad helping him, so he wanted to get, you know, this young kid some good Cowboy stuff. Because there's been Cowboy, and it's always irritated me how many Cowboys fans have been around this part. It never made sense to me since I was 6 years old. I asked my dad, why is Billy Garrison a Cowboy fan? Aren't we supposed to be Oilers fans? We're here. We're not in Dallas. And I don't remember what my dad said, but even then, I had sense enough to know that you're not supposed to be a Cowboy fan living here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, Gil Brandt, he's got 90 years old. Holy crap.
Yeah, but still, that's an axe to grind.
When we come back.
That's somebody who doesn't. But there is an age where you get to an age where you're like, what are you going to do?
You're just saying
you're going to cancel Gil Brandt?
Yeah.
He's probably thinking, you going to cancel me? I'm going to get this one off. No, Gil, please don't say this.
Noah Levick, that's his name? Okay. Noah Levick covers the Sixers for NBC Sports Philadelphia. We're going to find out where James Harden is right now in the city of Philadelphia.
Oh, club?
And they got some problems,
too. You mean right now?
Right.
In the city of Philadelphia?
No. Where the city stands with him.
Oh, because I was going to say, probably a club.
I know where I stand with Jeff Aronoff, and that's I stand firmly behind Jeff Aronoff. Power to the people. Jeff Aronoff is the people. He's the people's remodeler, okay? Jeff Aronoff, but he did our home. He does hotels. He's been doing this for 25, 30, I don't have any idea. I've known Jeff for a long time now. I would imagine he's been doing this for at least 25 years, and he is really, really, really good at remodeling. He is really, really good at building. He is really, really good at designing. He is good at picking whatever it is that you need. He is good at, he's not a contractor. He is actually good at doing the work, okay? He's got his guys that will come take care of that business. He'll oversee it. He will help you decide what it is that you need to do in that kitchen, in that bathroom, on that patio, in that den, in that bedroom, whatever it is. If there's a remodeling job, it got to be a big one, then Jeff Aronoff is here for you. So you're looking for that job to get done. You need to upgrade. You need Jeff Aronoff. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's an absolute marble and granite.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
935 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance be joined right now by Noah Levick. He covers the Sixers for NBC Sports Philadelphia. We just wanted to check in and see how our guy James Harden is faring in the city of Philadelphia. Noah, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Yeah, thanks for having me. In all honesty, running on no sleep, busy Sixers night, but doing well overall here in Philly.
So tell us, where is James Harden right now in the city of Philadelphia with these fans?
I think there's some concern about whether he can be the number two star next to Joel Embiid that Daryl Morey hopes. Harden's been honest about he's not shooting the ball well and he's not comfortable with all aspects of his role here. One big change for him is that because Joel Embiid inevitably gets double teamed so often in the post, Harden's getting catch and shoot threes and he's passing a lot of them up and not looking especially comfortable in those situations. And just overall, the shooting numbers are similar to what you saw with the Nets. They're down from his norms, and he hasn't been efficient outside of free throws. So the Sixers are hopeful that he kicks into a higher gear in the playoffs and figures some of these things out with his new team that he's only had 21 games with thus far. So I think the fan base, it's a little wait and see. They recognize Harden's an immense talent. He's a great teammate for Embiid. But I think there's some skepticism of whether they can go on a deep run this year. And also there's some worryness about the Sixers just having a tough first-round matchup against the Toronto Raptors and this unique wild card of Matisse Thybulle, who's been a starter post-Harden trade, being ineligible for the games in Canada because he is not fully vaccinated against COVID-19.
Yeah, how big a loss is that?
It's a big one. I think it could all pan out for the Sixers if Danny Green turns back the clock a little bit and is effective with the transition threes and holds his own defensively, but you're not going to replicate Fabio's defense. He was an all-defensive team selection last year at 24 years old. He's consistently among the NBA's best with steal and block rates among wings, and he just has a game-turning impact. But the other side of the floor, Green is better. The spacing's better. Harden said it himself a couple of nights ago. And I think perhaps that's a little more comfortable for him, where instead of Thybulle, who doesn't draw a lot of respect from defenses and is a shaky offensive player overall, Green's going to fire those looks, and opponents are going to at least guard him behind the three-point line. But there are trickle-down effects potentially here that I think are legitimately concerning for the Sixers just in terms of their depth. The starting lineup after their trade for Harden was excellent. It was about a plus 20 net rating with Matisse Thybulle in it. So now you're shaking that up, and also you're potentially asking young wing players that you don't have a ton of faith in, like Isaiah Joe and Furkan Korkmaz, to play meaningful minutes in the postseason. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty for the Sixers already, and then the Thybulle situation exacerbates that.
Let's. I want to get back to Harden real quick for a second, because what John and I are very interested in is how Daryl Morey compartmentalizes his love for the James Harden he knew with the Rockets versus what he may have now. Do you feel like Daryl Morey has backed himself into a corner, painted himself into a corner with the James Harden deal, and that he will be forced to give him a max dollar extension at the end of the year? Or is this something, let's say James continues to be a little up and down and the Sixers, let's say they got eliminated in the first round. Could you see a scenario where Daryl Morey lets James Harden, is he a free agent after this year?
Yeah, so he's got an option that he says he's going to pick
could,
up.
Could you see where Daryl Morey would let him walk and try to utilize the money that they got off the books from Ben Simmons' contract to go after someone else?
I think that would shock me, that specific scenario. I think sort of the question of, is it guaranteed that Harden's going to be here long term? No, I think though both sides envisioned that when this trade came to be and are obviously big fans of each other. If this thing just combusts in horrible fashion, then perhaps James Harden is not here into his late 30s, especially if some of the concerns about his health and his burst off the dribble and his long-range shooting persist. But I do still think Morey expects the Sixers to go deep in the playoffs. He thinks Embiid is a great player who deserves an all-star teammate who threw double teams and attracted a bunch of attention, made other guys better. I think overall he's still really optimistic about all of that and would be surprised if this goes poorly. But perhaps we're having a different discussion if it indeed does not go according to Morey's plan. And I think this new variable with Thybulle, it's probably fair to say that increases the chances a little bit that the Sixers lose in the first round of the playoffs. And that this was not the matchup that was best for them. I think there's no debating that. The Chicago Bulls are a skidding team that the Sixers swept in the regular season. The Raptors are very much not that, and the Sixers will have to work hard to win this first-round series.
Oh, absolutely.
But I still think, yeah, internally, Maury's still a believer. Nothing has changed on that front. Still loves James Harden, and he still thinks that long-term this is going to go great for all parties.
Welcome to James Harden.
It's kind of like Bad Vegan, where you can't believe somebody keeps giving him all that much, wiring that much money to him.
Well,
can you?
And I'm convinced that Daryl will. He cannot get out of this after one year.
I think if Daryl gives a bad long-term deal to James Harden here, he is kicked out of analytics forever. They will take Sloan Sports Conference away from him.
They can't.
But it very well could happen.
Yeah.
And look how bad this version of James is. This is the worst version we've seen.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's bad. And you guys got the brunt of it in Philadelphia. Noah, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. There's Noah Levick right here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. News of the weird. And when you hear this audio, it just doesn't get much weirder than this. We will play it for you on the other side. It's the most different play-by-play you'll ever hear in your life, this boxing play-by-play.
It is. You cannot believe.
You cannot.
You'll hear the audio. Just know that there are two guys who are landing big punches. Like, it's actually, they're throwing some bombs in there, and they are just talking as though you would almost think that two guys got caught in an open mic and they put it over a boxing match just to make it look like that. But this actually happened during a boxing match.
During a boxing match.
You really won't believe what they said. I mean, it's worse than whatever you're thinking. It's worse than that.
We'll play on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I'm talking about HRP. I got Mike Holley. As a matter of fact, I just texted him. I just love this guy. I love what HRP does. HRP does for us. It's so easy. You know, you put in your vacation dates, and it goes, you know, to everybody involved, and then the company knows when you're in, when you're out. It cannot be an easier system. Can't be better as far as the payroll goes, as far as, you know, the accuracy and your payroll. It's always perfect every single time. And then, you know what else is perfect? Our taxes, because they're it's not something that you just, oh my goodness, we got taxes now. They're doing this all year long. Every single paycheck for every single employee, they're doing this for you, and your payroll is easy, and your taxing is easy. And then the Affordable Care Act is so important for businesses. You can't mess this thing up, otherwise you're going to get fined. And we ain't getting fined because we got experts at the Affordable Care Act at HRP. They are the best. So if you're not, because we are completely satisfied, 100% satisfied, and can't be happier with our HR and payroll company. If you're not, then call ours, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, we got sent this, and it is audio of two guys boxing on some... do we know who is... who do we credit here, RJ? Can you see it there? Do you see it?
No, they don't have it. There's people in the string who knew who it was. I guess he's kind of famous. He's a boxing guy. I don't know who he is. He's 77 years old. This has not been a great day for older people cutting loose on broadcasts.
Okay, so Bob Sheridan is on this. Bob Sheridan is one of the guys that is talking.
I think that's who.
And so it's two guys that are in the ring. It's Ramirez versus Flores, and these two guys are landing some haymakers, and they're really fighting.
He's 78. He's an American boxing and MMA commentator, and I think he's the one that may have made that comment.
So just listen to the two guys as Ramirez and Flores are just wailing on each other.
There's two guys wailing on each other. It's a good fight.
It's a good fight. In the middle of the ring, and here's the play-by-play.
He kind of runs, como se dice in Italiano, let's just say he runs Sicily.
Okay, all right.
You get the picture, Paulie, because you are a Greece. No, you are Italian.
Absolutely.
Now, that I could have got fired for. No. But, you know, when we're off the air, we talk like that all the time. And my son uses it. We're not supposed to use the N-word. I know we can't use it on the air. And I'm not supposed to say it outside our room. So I don't. It's disrespectful to a horse of a different color, let's say.
Larry Medina says he doesn't want to say anything about Morales' lady, but she's a sexy caramba.
I cannot believe. First of all, he is trying to drop your people in the grease initially.
He was going to call him a grease ball. Yeah. Well, you're a grease ball. Oh, I mean Italian. I can't say that, otherwise I'm going to get fired. Okay.
Holy crap.
So wait.
I couldn't believe this.
I know we're not supposed to drop N-bombs on the air, and I'm not supposed to say it out of the room
and
either.
Outside of our room
outside
either.
Outside of our room.
What did you just say? Wow.
RJ, what you think about that play-by-play there?
That's probably you're Cali, watching too. Probably Cali, because there's a lot of boxing. I used to watch Fight Night at the Forum all the time back in the day.
So did you... Now, this is in La Ciudad de Tolos. This La Ciudad de Tolos. It looks like it's Mexico City. And so what did you think about that play-by-play there as you're watching the fight?
I'll go with what Lance is doing. You know, just to, you know... I'll say that.
Just when you think things are overblown sometimes, you say, maybe this really is people like that, I guess, in this
Bob
world.
Sheridan's in his sensitivity. I mean, he knows you're not supposed to drop N-bombs outside the room, right? Okay.
This happened a while back because it says veteran boxing broadcaster Bob Sheridan not welcome on Fight Stars TV after making insulting comments. He said many offensive things during a boxing broadcast on Friday. He called ring girls bimbos, implied that he uses the N-word, and claimed... we didn't get all of it. And claimed to have killed 8 men on the broadcast.
I love
Sheridan. Not welcome on any Fight Stars TV channels, according to a new statement.
Oh, is he just in boxing? Can we get him on a football game?
Claimed to have killed 8 men.
Well,
we heard the N-word stuff. That was pretty shocking that he would say that. The bimbos thing, I figured his name is Colonel Bob Sheridan. Come on now. Is there going to be somebody who says things like he said? I'd say a guy named Colonel Bob Sheridan is one of them. But, yeah, it's unclear if he was joking at the time, though a report from last year indicated that Sheridan was involved in a car accident and that there was a death involved. Sheridan did not immediately respond to insiders' requests for comment. So, yeah, the event was headlined by about blah, blah, blah. While the announcement of a decision on one of these fights, Sheridan started talking about the ring girls. All right, he said, we like the bimbos, right? Is that politically correct to say bimbos? This is a real quote from him on that same broadcast. Okay, sorry, ladies. You're two fine young ladies. God bless you. Sorry for the insult, but I come from the old days where you could actually say things that were funny. Nobody got their redneck up when you said stuff like that. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a bunch of things.
Speaking of which, a woman in Canada is on trial. Apparently, surveillance video captured drinks being poured on the floor. After two customers arrived and ignored the coffee shop's COVID-19 protocols, then became agitated when they were asked to sit at a different table. The video captured drinks being poured on the floor and then an object being thrown as the couple left the business. And the woman there says this, well, I prefer to have English or French or German than have the Chinese in this country. This is Canada and we have free speech. We don't like Chinese. We can say it. And I don't like Chinese and I say it. She's outside the courtroom? And apparently, a cameraman of Asian descent was trying to jostle and get near her, and she said, don't touch me, you. And she, a Chinese slur.
Is this Cut It Loose Monday?
Apparently.
Where every airing of grievances is going to be thrown out there, especially if they're racially insensitive?
Uh-huh. Well, here's another one. There's a church apparently in Oak Park, Illinois, they ain't using none of that white music in worship services during Lent.
So they're off of white music?
They're off white music.
Okay.
Okay. He wrote the church's worship services during Lent would not use any music or liturgy written or composed by white people.
Wow. That's an aggressive, racist choice.
Okay.
It's a bigoted choice you've chosen there. I will say, it is. It doesn't always have a whole lot of flair to it.
No.
The
it's
church
pretty,
music. Sometimes the chamber music can be a little solemn, especially during the Lenten season. It's going to be a little more solemn. Now, it picks up at the end.
Yeah, well,
it becomes a little more uplifting.
It's gonna be, yeah, but it. Now listen, if it's not written by, isn't it gonna be? It's gonna be fun. We're gonna have fun in church, okay? No white, no whitey music.
No white church music.
No white
right.
church music.
Yeah. I'm gonna check that off. Of that.
So
got it. Okay.
Apparently, this guy didn't really understand the whole process. A man accused of murdering a pensioner believes that entering a guilty plea actually means he would be pleading not guilty to the charge. This is what. When asked, are you guilty? The the guy said, yes, I'm plead guilty. He thought it meant he was, well, his lawyer is arguing, he thought it meant he's not guilty.
So this is kind of like when you say, are you going to kick, take the kick or defer? And you say, we'll kick off. No!
No!
You're supposed to say defer!
Right.
Now they're going to get it both halves. That's kind of like what happened with that guy.
Well, not really, because it's not guilty or guilty, and he said guilty.
Yeah, he should have said
and
defer.
And he thought that meant not guilty.
I defer to the second half.
That's how you say that. I want to defer to the second half of this trial? Yeah. Okay. All right. That's not a bad idea. And finally, Lance, apparently there were some kids in Florida who thought that wearing armored vests, it would be okay to shoot at each other.
Mm.
Yeah, how do you think that worked out for them?
Not great.
No, not great, actually.
So dumb people did something again?
Yeah. Florida.
Oh, dumb Floridians.
Florida
had it
strikes
again.
And it starts young. They're 17-year-olds. They acquired a body armored vest.
Oh.
And they felt like, well, let's shoot each other.
I mean, I'm going to just be honest. That does feel like on brand for 17-year-old Florida. That definitely tracks.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely
17-year-old. What would you think there's any chance of 17-year-old Floridians, two boys, decided to shoot each other with body armor on? I'd say, yeah, 100%. Yeah,
that sounds like absolutely.
That doesn't even make me blink. That's not even. I would have put that fourth on the list of.
Well, it was.
News of the Weird.
It was fourth.
I would have put Colonel Bob or whatever. Colonel Bob Sheridan. He's up at the top.
He was way up.
By the way, there's audio of him also saying, what? I killed 8 men. There's no reason to run from it, apparently, which I'm going to immediately watch when we're off the air. I'm about to go on a Colonel Bob Sheridan rabbit hole before I go do NFL Network at noon.
Well, and we'll bring back some more tomorrow then, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Y'all have a great day, everybody.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.